Hear that? It's the call of the Crave. And when the Crave calls, you know what to do. Try the $5 Bacon Bundle. Because the only thing better than a White Castle slider is a White Castle slider topped with crispy hickory smoked bacon. So pick any two of either the Bacon Cheese Slider, 1921 Bacon Cheese Slider, or Chicken Bacon Ranch Slider. And also get a small fry for just $5 with the $5 Bacon Bundle. White Castle. Follow your Crave.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
What's going on, everybody? Thank you so much for joining me for a special Saturday edition of Fantasy MLB Today. I'm your host, Joe Orico, and this is a Sports Ethos presentation, of course. You guys can check me out over on Twitter, at JoeOrico99. And make sure you guys are clicking the link in the description and taking a look through our draft guide. We have tons of articles to help you get ready for the season. Rankings, projections, we have our draft tracker tool. So a ton of fun stuff for you guys right in the description of the episode. We are wrapping up our position previews for the year today. You guys are likely entering into your biggest drafts of the year over the next week, and we have gone through every single position, wrapping it up today with second base. And I'm joined by an old friend here on the show, somebody that I've drafted, three or four times with this year. We got to meet in person a few weeks ago, and it's always fun getting to chat with Frank Amarante. You can find his work over at The Game Day. You can check him out over on Twitter at FAmaranteTFJ. Frankie, how you doing, man?
What's up, Joe? Pleasure to be on your show. We're getting close to baseball season, like you said. Can't wait for it to finally start. You know, we got that taste with the Seoul series, but it's got us hungry for more, and I just can't wait to talk second base today.
I am starving. I am absolutely starving. It's very cruel that we got a couple of regular season games, and then we have to go back to spring training. I hope we don't have to deal with that too many more times over the next few years. First time I've had to be in the NFBC for this free look stuff, and it's an interesting dynamic.
Yeah, it's something to get used to. For those who don't know, on NFBC, because there's two games a week earlier than the rest of the season starts, you can decide whether or not you want to start or bench them. Like, they're not locked into your lineup. So, yeah, definitely something to get used to.
Yeah, Yamamoto is probably going to be on a lot of benches. There are going to be, who is the reliever that got the win? Hudson. I've seen him get pushed up to, like, the 19th round in a couple of drafts. It's kind of wild. But yeah, those early stats coming into play, there's a lot of fun stuff going on. Whether you're on the NFBC or anywhere else, it is the best time of year, of course. Frank, I want to let you just tell everybody where you can be found. I mentioned you're at The Game Day, but just let everybody know what you got going on.
Yeah, so at The Game Day, I've been putting out fantasy baseball ranks. I have to update them today. They're just, it feels like if you, like, 3 days go by and there's so many changes you need to make with all these injury news, players being sent down, etc. Also, you'll find betting content there if you're into that. And always check my Twitter. I stay active, put any nuggets or tidbits of good fantasy information, try to help you out. You could also, before I forget, I update the closer rankings at The Game Day as well, where I put, you know, next in line for if you're speculating on saves there. So you can check that out as well. And hit me up any lineup questions as well or any trades on Twitter.
Those closer rankings, I've had to update mine recently. That's been the least fun position to be updating.
Yeah, it's not fun.
we're not pushing guys up because of great performances or whatever. It's because everybody's just, they're falling like leaves at this point. That has not been fun. But Frank, we've been drafting a lot together. That has been fun. Talk about not just those, like we did a draft champions together. We're in the Earth League together. I think there's one or two more, but how has draft season gone for you as a whole? Has it been successful? It's always fun, but you liking your team so far? Have you dodged some of these injury landmines?
I will say that it started off quite poorly because in the draft champions league that I did with you in January, I really waited on closer and I had Ryan Pressly as my first closer. And then, of course, they signed Josh Hader. So that really hurt. But aside from that, I think I've been fortunate to dodge, you know, the Gerrit Coles, Yuri Perez, Kyle Bradish when he was at his regular cost. Like I took a shot on Bradish when he really fell. And I was able to lock in a bunch of Wyatt Langford when he was going around pick 150. And now he's been really pushed up, of course, with the strong spring and confirmation that he's on the team. And then lastly, like grabbing O'Neal Cruz earlier in draft season when he was in the 90s or even 100, I got him. Whereas now with his torrid spring, O'Neal Cruz, he's like, what, in the top 50? So I think, despite the murky start with Ryan Pressly, I've been happy with the way I've been able to dodge these injuries.
That draft champions that we did together, and it was a really fun group of people that are in that league. A ton of people that you guys know from the industry. Justin Mason's in there, Ryan Bloomfield, Mike Kurland is in there, ton of people. I drafted Juan Duran in the fourth round and Yuri Perez in the fifth round as my first starting pitcher. So that one's dead on arrival. It looks like no in-season pickup, so we'll have to see how that works. But the O'Neal Cruz one, all of those guys that you mentioned, they're all shooting up. But O'Neal Cruz, I was watching a live stream the other night. It was an FTN YouTube live stream, and there was Eric Cross and Lucas Beery were, I think it was like a beat Lucas Beery league, and the 1-2 turn was O'Neal Cruz and Ellie De La Cruz at the 1-2 turn, pick 12 and 13.
Wow.
So that shows you where we are with O'Neal Cruz. I think we're talking second base today, but do you agree that it might have gotten a little bit out of hand at this point with O'Neal Cruz?
Yeah, that's completely out of hand. One thing I noticed that in those OCs on NFBC is it's kind of wild. Players really shoot heavily for upside, especially because it's 12 team where we come to get used to on the NFBC 15 team. But yeah, O'Neal Cruz in the second round is way too high. I think I'd stop around in the 50s-ish to take O'Neal Cruz, because at the end of the day, he still hasn't really put it together for a full season. You know, the tools are there. The power, speed, upside, you love to see, but we can't go overboard with this steam on him. And yeah, of course, early second round is just wild.
I think it's insanity, personally.
Maybe they just wanted the Cruz combo. I don't know.
The Cruz combo, but they're just completely forgetting about batting average altogether. Hopefully, like, I don't know.
It's yeah, crazy, no, that's crazy nuts. Build.
But it's a fun build, and I guess if you're doing a bunch of leagues, you can kind of, you know, you can afford to mess around a little bit. It's an expensive little mess around for $350 if it doesn't turn out well. But let's talk about second base. Is there a general way that you approach the position? Do you try and target one early? Are you going for the late guys? Do you enter a draft saying you have a strategy one way or another with second base?
Well, I really like Gleyber Torres a lot this year for second base. So I go into the draft trying to hope to target him. So that sort of makes me move away from someone like Ozzie Albies in the second round. But that's not to say I'm going to just outright fade the early ones. Like if they fall considerably, like not considerably, but like, you know, a few picks past ADP, maybe to the third round, let's say Ozzie Albies, which would be rare, but let's say it did happen, I would take him. So to sum it up, yes, I want Gleyber Torres as one of my favorite targets, but I would be willing to adjust if, you know, a higher ranked player falls past the ADP just to secure that value.
Yeah, there's a lot of players, not a lot of players, but there's a good few at the second base position there going in a couple of the early rounds. So let's talk about that first tier. It's kind of, you know, there's Mookie Betts at the top, and then Ozzie Albies, Marcus Semien, and then Jose Altuve. And then after them, we have to wait another 25 or so picks until we enter into the next second baseman, which is Nico Horner. But those first four guys, you mentioned, generally speaking, like you're kind of hoping that they fall to you. Mookie Betts is a really interesting one for me, especially now that we mentioned that first series. I think Mookie Betts had 7 RBI or 6 RBI or something like that. I've heard people say that that might be enough to push him to number two or number three or in whatever number it would be ahead of Julio and Bobby Witt, just to bank those stats. What's your thought on that personally? If somebody's drafting this week and they can bank those numbers, is that enough for you to make that push to number two or number three?
Personally, no. I think we go overboard because we're so starved for the fantasy baseball season that when we see a big performance really early, especially on, quote, like an island game where no other teams are playing and it's way earlier, and you just become preoccupied with banking those stats, I think that's overrated, and especially with a high first rounder like Betts. Like if it's Daniel Hudson that you mentioned, a reliever who got a win, and you can get him for cheap and just plug him in for the first week and just bank that win, it's different. Yeah, I get why he'd get bumped up. But for Mookie Betts, I mean, he's one of those players that whatever he did in that first game wouldn't change anything for me. You know, could be as high as four. I wouldn't put him higher than Julio or Witt just because more stolen base upside. But I get it if you would rank Mookie Betts there. I do like him. I took him in that Earth League you mentioned that we drafted together with. He'd be one of my targets, Mookie Betts, in this tier. But yeah, the opening series, it wouldn't bump him up to three or two like I saw tweeted out or discussed after that performance.
Does the shortstop or the incoming shortstop eligibility change the equation for you at all? He's already so valuable with second and outfield. For me, shortstop, it's nice, but it doesn't really move the needle so much. Does it make him bump him up a spot or two for you there?
I think it's nice to see, like you said, but I always draft Betts. Well, actually, you know what? Because if you do have shortstop now, as you're drafting, it gives you more flexibility. Like if a shortstop that you like really fell, then you can move Mookie Betts to second. Like you can just move him around. So maybe you could move him up like one spot for me. But still, I wouldn't put him higher than four. I just like having... Actually, it's tough to put him even over... He'd be like in the mix with Strider. I know Strider's gone as high as one in these NFBC leagues especially. So it'd be a conversation. But to really sum it up, Mookie Betts is probably one of the safest picks of the first round. Just great. We can't really say much. Everyone knows the deal. Great track record. Amazing context. You got to love it.
It's just the stolen bases compared to the other players in that range that's kind of... You know, makes him not quite as appealing, but when you're talking about like potentially 130 runs, because that's like he had like 126 last year without Otani, you got to figure in. I mean, Otani's kind of a whole other situation right now that we don't really know what's going to happen, but I'm pretty sure they're going to do what they can. Otani's going to be on the field unless they find something so damning that's just like they know for sure Otani bet on like a baseball game. Like, I think that he's probably going to be fine, and I think that we can still factor him into that lineup. Do you have any thoughts on that? Like, do you think we have to kind of bump down Otani or any other Dodgers, Mookie or anybody else because of the fear of Otani at all?
No, I was already a little bit lower than consensus on Otani just because I felt like, coming off that significant surgery, like it had Bryce Harper start off slow. I know it was a little different than Tommy John and Bryce Harper came back earlier, but that just had me baking him down a little bit to the early second round rather than in the top 10 that I see him going. So I probably will leave him around there. I don't want to go. I was already low, so I figure I'll just leave him there with the risk that he gets suspended. To sum it up, I don't think he'll end up getting suspended, and I wouldn't really change any of the Dodgers teammates based on the risk that Otani will be missing time.
Yeah, I would agree. I think that they'll do absolutely everything they can to keep him out there. There would have to be something really bad that comes out from what we've seen so far. It's not great, but like I saw Rob Silver in a draft the other day, auction, $25 for Otani. Like,
yeah, that's a great price. I would be willing to do that. I know these are leagues with really high stakes buy-ins with these auctions that he's doing in Vegas that you mentioned, NFBC. So of course players are being extra conservative. But still, like, that is, I can't pass that up, $25.
It's insane value. I would buy the dip on him. And if people want to fade Dodgers in general because of it, even if it's, like, a couple spots, I'm taking the dip. In this tier, generally, I think my favorite guy, it would be, if I'm going to take an early second baseman, I'm probably going to wait and take Jose Altuve. I don't really understand why he's going so much later than Albies and Semien. I know that he was hurt for the first part of last year. He came back and looked exactly the same as always. I just haven't seen any real decline with him. You're still looking at like 25 homers, maybe 20 steals, close to 300 batting average. I don't really have any worries with him. And you can look at a guy like Marcus Semien, who's going almost a full round above him, as somebody who is like an accumulator, who every year is 162 games. What if Semien plays 135 games this year or something? It's definitely possible. I just think Altuve is probably the safest in this bunch, outside of Mookie. And Mookie's kind of like if you just happen to draw a top five pick. But if you can actually like plan that out for the second, third, fourth round, I think that Altuve, especially in a 12-team league, he's like a fourth round ADP. I think he's my favorite guy in this group. Do you like Altuve this year, Frank?
Yeah, I'm cool with Altuve. I think why he falls a little more is just because he's missed some time. Like you mentioned, Semien. I know it could be. I felt this way last year too with Semien. I'm like, damn, this guy every year is 700 plus plate appearances. One of these seasons, you know, it's hard to really keep doing that every year, especially as you're in your mid 30s almost. But he keeps doing it. So I get both sides of the equation. You could argue, oh, Semien's just that safe 700 plus plate appearances, whereas Altuve's never done that except for 2016, 700 plus plate appearances, that is. So, but then I can also understand your outlook. Like, if Semien is an accumulator, if he has 680 instead of 753 plate appearances last year, he's like, Altuve could outproduce him. So, honestly, not a real strong stance on Altuve, but I definitely get the appeal that you have, and you can get him around later in round four.
That lineup is so good. I mean, all four of these lineups for all these guys in the top tier, Betts, Albies, Semien, Altuve, they're all great lineups, but I think Houston is probably outside. Oh, well, it's honestly hard to order them. Like, I think Houston's probably third, like the Dodgers and Atlanta one and two, and then Houston third probably for lineup, but they're so strong. Like anybody in that bunch, you're getting great team context as well. Do you think that there's a particular order you'd have those four lineups, Dodgers, Braves, Rangers and Astros off the top of your head?
I think the way you had it was perfect. Those are definitely the top four. Really, to put it in like Braves or Dodgers one, I could see the argument either or.
Yeah.
The Rangers were already great last year. Now they add Wyatt Langford. Maybe I put them slightly ahead of Houston, but I can get seeing why you'd put Houston ahead. You know, they've just been great for so many years in a row.
Great team context for everybody in that first tier. No real fades for me. I think that Semien does have some worries just because on a per-game basis, he's not quite as flashy. But no real fades for me anywhere there. The second tier is interesting, starting with Nico Horner and going to Gleyber Torres, Ha-Sung Kim, Andrés Giménez, and Bryson Stott. Gleyber Torres, you mentioned he's one of your targets. He's gotten more expensive because I did an ADP battle podcast in like December or January, and Bryson Stott and Gleyber Torres was one of the battles, and they were going within a pick of each other. And now there's like a 25, 30 pick difference between them. My philosophy with those two guys in particular is it's very build dependent. If you need a little more power, you go Gleyber. If you need a little more speed at that point, you go Bryson Stott. But I feel like the overall value you're going to get out of them is pretty similar. And at this point with the price, I love Gleyber, but I feel like I'd be leaning more towards Stott just because of the discount. What are your thoughts on that there?
Well, you definitely raise a good argument in that Torres has been steamed up. You know, his ADP in NFBC OC since March 15th is 74, min pick 62. In the one OC that I did, I got him like in round, it's in round eight. So he was like, I believe in the high 80s. So it's harder to take Torres now because his price has increased. But I just love how, you know, he really cut down his K rate last year. It's been 2 years in a row where he's really contributed across the board. It's a contract year for Torres. He may even lead off for the Yankees, and now they added Soto. That lineup could be much improved.
Passion, drive, and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights, and more. Whether you're into speed, power, or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply. See ebaymotors.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
With threats to our nation waiting around every corner, adaptability is more important than ever. When conditions change without notice, quick strategic thinking is crucial. And with obstacles consistently impending, determination is essential in overcoming them. It's this willingness, decisiveness, and resilience that sets Marines apart. With our fighting spirit, we don't just fight battles, we win them. Marines are the constant our nation counts on to fight the unknown. And through adaptable problem solving, we do just that. Learn more at marines.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
But... like you said, if you needed speed, you can go with Stoudt and wait a couple of rounds. But I probably would still lean towards Torres, and I'd take him in the fifth or sixth. But if he goes higher than that, like if he gets too close to, you know, well, there's not much time left for the ADP to rise because the season's going to start. But I mean, you know, if you have to take him in the fourth, that's way too high. But I like the appeal with Torres. I like the team context. But, you know, Bryson Stott, like you said, hey, 31 steals last year. And his average was 280. Steamer projects 268. So he's pretty decent in average. So I certainly get your stance.
I really love Stott. I think, honestly, I love the Phillies in general. I've drafted a lot of Castellanos, a couple of Alec Bohm shares late because he's been cheap. Just I feel like I really like that offense top to bottom. They're kind of underrated, I think. They're not quite as heralded as they maybe should be just because the Braves take a lot of the attention in that division. But look what happens in the playoffs. I mean, the Phillies, I think, is back-to-back years now have knocked out the Phillies have knocked out the Braves, I think, 2 years in a row. I might be wrong on that. But the Phillies are no slouch is what I'm saying. Yeah. And getting a piece of that lineup is something that I've been doing quite a bit of. I'm not sure about your fades in this tier. Mine have generally been Nico Horner and Ha-Seong Kim. I think that you're just paying for the stolen bases, and there might be some builds where maybe you went Yordan Alvarez, Aaron Judge, and you're thinking, shit, I need to make up some steals here. I'm taking Nico Horner, but I don't think that he's well-rounded enough player to be going where he's going. And same with Kim.
No, you took the words right out of my mouth, because Nico Horner is my fade for this group, because if I'm spending, you know, a top 65 pick, I don't want a hitter that's projected for what, like 10 home runs. It's just and the counting stats, like the RBI, that is not runs he should get, but RBI for Nico Horner, he'll likely hurt you. And the other thing is, where Nico Horner goes in drafts is where I really like to get, you know, Grayson Rodriguez or Bobby Miller, a starting pitcher there. It's a nice spot for starting pitching. Yeah. So I tend to really avoid Nico Horner there. Now, I actually discussed this with a friend. Like, let's say you took Spencer Strider first round and then you went really heavy pitching. Maybe Corbin Burns fell to you all the way back in the second round. You got Strider, let's say, in the third. And then maybe you got a big bat in the third round and then Horner fell to you in the fourth. You needed some speed. I get it there because, you know, he could give you a boost in stolen bases. But you know, like we said, the lack of power at the high price feels like you're buying in at a premium, and you know, I'm out.
If I'm just looking for steals, it's not so much like a second base thing, but I feel like I can find steals later on in drafts a lot of the time. Whether it's like a Jaron Duran or whoever it is, like there are 25 to 30 stolen base guys that, you know, the same as Horner, are not terribly well-rounded, but they're not costing you a fourth or fifth round pick. And they're like, the Cubs are good offense, but they're not like the level of offense we were talking about earlier, where you can say, okay, the team context is going to make up for it. They're good. They're not great. the players that are key contributors there, Bellinger, we don't know exactly what he's going to look like year in and year out. Seiya Suzuki's dealt with injury problems. It's not such a lock, and I've seen him go very high. Like, his minimum pick is 49. I think people are just a little bit too in love with the speed. I think that's the case for a lot of players this year, that people are just falling in love with speed and pushing guys up that they shouldn't. Ka-Sung Kim is the same deal. If he doesn't steal 38 bases again, which he's likely to not do, you're kind of wasting that draft pick. I get the multi-position thing, because that is valuable, second, third, and short, especially in like a draft and hold, but I just think these guys are way overpriced, specifically because they're just, like I said a few times now, they're just not well-rounded fantasy players. And in this range, you can get still kind of four or five category guys, or an SP1, to your point, Grayson or Bobby Miller.
Yeah, totally agree. Feels like I never, you know, like coming into last season, Ha-Sung Kim went obviously way later in drafts because he wasn't nearly as proven, and he really paid off last year. I just feel like I don't like buying into a surprise player who's now priced much more expensive the following year. Like, Ha-Sung Kim fits that bill for sure.
Yeah.
Unless they're like a young prospect, who highly touted prospect who finally broke out. But, you know, Ha-Sung Kim's a good player. But like you said, 38 feels like a career high in stolen bases for him.
And they're also talking about an offense that definitely, in my opinion, didn't get better. They just subtracted Juan Soto from the equation. I don't think that there's, you know, not that he was doing so well in San Diego, but it definitely does take away from the team as a whole, I think, when you're losing a player of that caliber for sure. Let's go into the third tier here. I kind of had to come with like a bit of an arbitrary ADP cutoff, or else I could kind of just group a lot of these guys together. But this next tier, starting with Ketel Marte, working down through Nolan Gorman. So it's Marte, Geloff, Tyro Estrada, Matt McClain, Luis Arise, and Nolan Gorman. What is this tier telling you, Frank? Are you shopping a lot in this group of players? What are your thoughts as a whole here?
Yeah, so one player I really like is Ketel Marte. He had a great season last year. He had 276, 94 runs, 25 homers, 82 RBI, 8 steals. So nice, well-rounded contributor. The reason he goes this late is because, you know, from what, 2020 to 2022, he dealt with injuries. He was pretty disappointing. So I get that, but, you know, if he could stay healthy, we could see something similar to last year. Projections like him quite a bit. Steamer projects 275 average, 21 homers, you know, 82 RBI, 7 steals. So he's someone I like, Ketel Marte here. I like others on this list, like, you know, Tyro Estrada could fall. He could help you with steals. He's kind of like a cheaper version, less upside than, like, let's say, Ha-Sung Kim. Like, it's just that Estrada steals a lot less, and, you know, he doesn't have as good of a walk rate or anything. But one that I'm fading is Luis Arias, and it's just because I just don't want these fantasy hitters that contribute only in a couple of categories. Like, Arias is going to give you elite batting average, but he's going to hurt you in power, and he's not contributing anything in stolen bases. So that's just a player that I don't take. I get it to those who take, like, say, Kyle Schwarber early, and they get Luis Arias to really neutralize that batting average risk that Schwarber brings. But personally, I'm just out on Arias.
I agree with you there. And this is something that I kind of made this mistake in my first draft of the year. I had Bobby Witt and Corey Seager were my first couple picks. And I also had a couple of other strong batting average assets. I had Yandy Diaz. And then I took Kyle Schwarber. But the problem with that, what I've come to realize, and I forget who was the one who really, you know, pointed this out to me, but you're just neutralizing every bit of value you have there. Like, let's say you take Schwarber and Arise, you're averaging out between them. It's like an average player, you know, those 40 home runs you're going to get from Schwarber, you're only going to get 5 from Arise. So between them, it's like you're averaging a 20 home run player, which is fine, but it's probably not what you're going through when you think, oh, I'm getting a 40 home run player. I'm going to offset it with Arise, but it's not really that much of an advantage for you, you know? Yeah, I've had that mistake a couple times, more so early in draft season. But, yeah, it goes back to the same kind of Nico Horner, Ha-Sung Kim thing. It's like these guys are just one category contributors. At least Arise is a little bit cheaper than those other guys. But even still, like batting average has been a huge priority for me this year. I'm not taking guys who are projected below, like, this isn't a hard rule, but generally like 260 or 270 in those first five or six picks. I want to secure batting average because every player you add off the waiver wire is likely going to, you know, take away from your batting average. It's very rare that you're streaming players or adding players that are going to boost your batting average. So I'm trying to have that strong base to start. Arise just has not been a target for me at all. That's like pretty close to a full fade as it gets, honestly.
Same.
Matt McClain is kind of interesting at this point. He's fallen down to 144. I'm really scared. Is this discount enough for you to take the plunge on him here?
No, because even if you look, if you click Matt McClain's player page on NFBC and you see, like, I know the ADP is showing like around 144, but if you look specifically on the graph of where it's, in drafts, he's gone like in the 300s, as late in the 400s. People are just scared off by the injury because it's not just that he's gone on the IL, but it feels like it was like lingering soreness or whatever, and then it just feels like there's always, he's dealing with something. And remember in that early report that surgery was even discussed, so the fact that it was, you know, even potentially on the table makes Matt McClain risky. And in leagues like NFBC where we're trying to contend for an overall prize, you know, unless he really falls, I'm just not going to take him. Because let's say you take him in an online championship, that's going to really waste a roster spot for several weeks on your team. We don't have IL slots to just stash McClain. So you don't want too many of those stashes. And, you know, for that reason, unless Matt McClain really falls, I'm not going to be drafting him.
I think my home league draft is on Tuesday or Wednesday. That's a league, like, it's a Yahoo league with IL spots. If he falls far enough, that's where I might take a plunge. That's the huge difference. Like NFBC, there's no IL spots. You're eating those on your bench, and you know you have seven bench spots, but they go quick, especially if you're starting to accumulate those injuries before the season. So yeah, Matt McClain, like, he was somebody like I saw in drafts early, like third, fourth round type of price, fifth round type of price. It's appealing to see him going so late, but like to your point, surgery's on the table. When surgery's on the table, I don't really want to be biting in there at all. Another guy I do want to mention is Tyro Estrada. Like you did mention Tyro. I think with Bob Melvin, I think there's a likelihood that he is going to steal more. I forget what's his name, the old man, it was Kapler. Didn't let them steal a lot. And Bob Melvin's tendencies tend to allow for more stolen bases. And I've heard some people say that Tyro could be like a 30-plus stolen base guy. I don't know that he's going to be 30-plus, but I think I projected him for like 27 or something. He's good batting average. The lineup is not amazing, but it's improved in San Francisco, multi-eligible. I got to be honest, Tyro's been one of my biggest targets all of draft season. I have a ton of shares. I love him.
Yeah, he's rock solid, and he just he doesn't hurt you in batting average. You know, he's hit 260, 271, and Steamer projects, well, they're actually low on him compared to the others, 258. But the point is, he's not going to be a complete drain, and that's an interesting point about Bob Melvin. I didn't consider that. If he can get 25 plus steals, definitely see that. So I'm with you on Estrada.
That's a Jason Collette one. That's a hat tip to Jason Collette, who pointed that one out way back in the fall, actually, in Arizona when we were at first pitch, which I'd like to get you out there one time, Frank, but I know football is probably real busy in November for you to take a week for
baseball. Yeah, 1 year I should come out to that. That would be cool.
It's a great event. Always a lot of fun there. But let's move on to the next tier, starting with Edward Julian and moving on down through Jonathan India. So it's Julian, Brandon Drury, Ryan McMahon, Jorge Polanco, and Jonathan India in this grouping. It's like the 200 to 250 ADP range. A couple of guys that I really like here, Frank, but I'll give you the floor. Targets, fades, what are your overall thoughts on this group?
Well, as I was preparing for this show and thinking of targets, because I haven't really, I've drafted Julian, but reading into it more, I feel like I need to join another draft just to get one share of Jorge Polanco, and it's just because, you know, in 2021, we saw like massive numbers, you know, 33 homers, 97 runs, 98 RBI, 11 steals, 269 average. Not saying he's going to get back to those levels, but if he could stay healthy, and I know the last two seasons he's been plagued by injuries, but if he could stay healthy, you know, you look at the projections and Steamer's got 22 homers, 70 plus runs, 70 plus RBI. He can get 6 plus steals. He might hurt you a little in average because they project 245, but he's hit like 260 plus in several seasons, so he can definitely get there. And, you know, in a change of scenery now with the Mariners, you know, that's a, I know the Twins are a playoff contender. Mariners are too. Sometimes a change of scenery can help out a player. I'm just pulling up where Mike Curlin has Polanco in MLBPlayingTime.com. Check that out for the lineups. You know, Polanco slotted in the three hole, right behind Julio Rodriguez. There could be opportunities here. And, you know, if I join one more OC at NFBC, I'm going to be looking to draft Jorge Polanco.
I have 40% Jorge Polanco. He's been one of my bigger targets. It was more so like before because his price has gone up a little bit, and I don't love that the ballpark is worse, but you're trading that for a assured regular spot in the lineup, where in Minnesota there was some, like, I had Brandon Warren on a few months ago. We did the Twins preview and he wasn't sure if we were going to be seeing Jorge Polanco regularly in the lineup, what was going to happen there. There was some concerns. That was kind of the only concern, really, because I mean, there's the injury problems he's had, but if he's in the lineup, Polanco, like just a couple of years ago, was like a 35 home run, 100 RBI, like almost an MVP candidate type of player. Like now you're getting him close to pick 250. To your point, like he's batting right behind Julio. I really, really agree that in this range, 240, like is that, like you're not really taking any risk at that point. If it doesn't pan out, it doesn't pan out. You can easily drop him. That's a range where a lot of guys aren't going to make it anyway through the whole season on your team. The beyond pick 200, especially if you guys are playing on in your home leagues, in your Yahoo leagues, ESPN, CBS, whatever, past pick 200, you take some chances. And this isn't even really a chance. If it doesn't pan out, it doesn't pan out. But there's a good chance he stays on your roster all year and is able to smash through the projections. And even the baseline projections, 20 homers, 6 steals, really good stuff considering where he's being drafted. Another guy in this range that's become really interesting recently is Jonathan India, just because all of the concerns about playing time seem to have sorted themselves out with Marte and with TJ Friedl getting injured. Now we have a couple more spots available in Cincinnati. Are you more interested in Jonathan India now than you would have been about a week ago?
Yeah, so when I was thinking of a fade in this group, I really didn't have any fades. Like I have, like, you know, there's Polanco, there's McMahon, Edward Julian, Brandon Drury. They're all I see the appeal for them in the right situation, but in the interest of picking one, it just, India's price has risen so much. It feels like if I take him now, I'd be like, oh damn, I wish I got him when there was a log jam in the Reds infield, and now I'm buying in when, you know, I wish I'd, basically it's like FOMO. I wish I got the better value on him, but I certainly see why his price has risen. Obviously, Noel V. Marte suspension, and now TJ Friedl hurt, you know, so he can get into the lineup much more. And we've seen what he's done in the past. What was it, 2 years? I think 3 years ago now, that first season he had 21 homers, 12 steals.
Yeah.
So even last year was decent, 17 homers, 14 steals. He might hurt you a little bit in batting average, but the plate appearances of opportunity has opened up. But I just won't pick him in the increased price, just because, like, you know, I wish I got him past pick 300 when he was going earlier in drafts, but definitely get the appeal.
I hear you for sure. I have one or two shares, nothing maybe even just one, nothing crazy, but I think at this point, if you guys still have drafts, I think it makes sense to take a chance anyway, and especially, like, I understand what you're saying. The price has gone up and you don't want to be paying like the inflated price, but even the inflated price is 250, you know, it's not anything for me. It's like too cost prohibitive. Now, if he keeps going up, like his minimum is 184 just over the last couple of weeks. So like he could in a given room jump up. Actually, in all NFBC drafts recently, he's gone as high as 156. That was March 19th. So that's where I don't have any interest. No way at 150.
Yeah.
That's where I feel like a sucker. But if it's 250 and beyond, I think I could get behind it. You know, not that he's like a strong target, but I think that there's still a little bit more there Even like you said, last year was kind of a disappointment, but 17-14 still, I mean.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And it's your last chance to get more fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this limited-time bundle ends June 30th. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You could do worse. You know, you could do worse, I think. Ryan McMahon, the last guy in this group I wanted to just mention real quickly, there's something to be said for consistency, about knowing exactly what you're going to get. 20 homers, 22 homers, maybe five steals, you're going to get 70 runs, 70 RBI. Like, if you just look at Ryan McMahon's stats over the last 4 years, it's like the same thing. It's like the same thing every single year. Double eligible, you can put him in the middle, you can put him in the corner. I think that he's kind of a sneaky target as well, especially playing in Colorado. I like Ryan McMahon quite a bit.
Yeah, yeah, you really look at that, those career stats. It's just, yeah, so consistent. And, you know, if you built a nice batting average base, like you mentioned, which is really important, because you could, you know, batting average sort of becomes an overlooked stat. But you build a nice base, you can tolerate that 240 average if in the worst case for, you know, Ryan McMahon. And then, you know, you can mix and match and then bench him when he's on the road and not at Coors, or maybe like a first series off of Coors, because we've seen Colorado hitters, you know, in their first road series, it could be hard to adjust from the altitude. But I agree. And I like the fact that you can play him at middle or corner. It's just nice. It's helpful for your roster construction.
Absolutely. Yeah. Like, to your point, the Coors thing is really important. Players away from Coors, or like the CJ Krohn thing over the last couple of years. If you're in a daily changes league, those Coors guys, I think, are just that much more valuable, especially if you have a couple of bench spots you can slot. Like, not that you'd want to fill up your team with Rockies, because they're just not that good. But a guy like McMahon on like a daily changes roster, you put him in there with the flexibility of multiple positions when he's playing. I think there's a lot of appeal in taking a chance on him here. And again, the ADP 240, it's pretty sweet in my opinion. The last kind of grouping, and it's not even really a grouping, more so just for the sake of everybody's time, is just, and honestly, at this point, if you don't have a second baseman, you're probably not looking great. But Luis Renjifo, kind of, and just beyond him, he's the 21st second baseman by ADP. Beyond him, it's Tommy Edman, Brandon Lau, Whit Merrifield, Gavin Lux, Brendan Donovan. And then we're getting into like the post 300 ADP, the late round guys. Do you have any kind of late targets, quote unquote sleepers, breakouts, or anything in this group, or anybody that you're kind of fading? It's kind of late to really have a full fade at this point, but general thoughts on like the scraps at second base, Frank.
I like Jake Cronenworth, you know, in 2021, like he really could help you with runs and even be solid in RBI, especially for a second baseman. You know, 2021, 94 runs, 71 RBI, and 2022, 88 runs, 88 RBI. Last year was a down year. He really struggled, but, you know, he's only 30 years old. We've seen that he's penciled in the, you know, against righties, hitting third in the Padres lineup. And I know the Padres lineup has definitely gotten worse, losing Juan Soto, but hey, there's still, you know, Bogarts, Tatis, Machado. I know we said we don't like him in fantasy, but from a real life standpoint, he's pretty solid. Yeah. So at this price, like, what is it? He's like past pick 300. Yeah. You know, you look elsewhere here, there's not as many players with entrenched playing time. Like, Bryce Terang's going to be the everyday second baseman for the Brewers, but, like, he's unproven. He could easily get, you know, replaced. They could put Ortiz there and then play. They could bring up, you know, Tyler Black. Point is that you're getting a accumulator in Cronenworth who, against righties, hitting in a good spot in the Padres lineup, and he's got pretty much entrenched playing time. And in a, especially in, say, like a draft champions, he's a nice pick just to fill out your roster. If you play in an OBP league, Cronenworth gets a bump because 2022, 10.2% walk rate. He's had a walk rate of at least 8% in each of his MLB seasons. So he goes from a batting average drain where he could hit as low as last year, 229, to, you know, not too bad in OBP. He's gone as high as 354. So definitely like Cronenworth in this group.
He's another guy, like we mentioned with McMahon. Cronenworth's eligibility is first and second, but that still gives you the corner and the middle. He's batting third in a lineup with regular playing time, and he's even projected to bat against lefties. He's going to be a little bit lower down, but you're going to be right around Bogarts, Machado, and Tatis with multi-eligibility past pick 300. Not to mention, this first series, he had four ribbies, a couple of runs. He had four hits, so you're banking some decent stats. He's one of those players, I think, where you'll probably see him get bumped up a couple rounds over these last, especially those Las Vegas main events that you're talking about. Any of those Las Vegas drafts, you know, if the auction price is $2, now it's $3. Like, he's just going to be a little bit more expensive now.
Yeah, to your point, I'm looking at Cronenworth and his min is now 180.
Wow.
Yeah, like, that's too high. Like, they go really overboard with that. But yeah. I feel like, you know what it is? Like, because those NFBC main events, they just bank the stat and they know they can just drop him late. Like, it's not like draft and hold where they're stuck to them.
Yeah, and, like, honestly, he might not even be somebody that you have to drop.
If he's
in the third spot for the Padres all year, maybe he bounces around a little bit, but he's put up very, very, very good fantasy seasons just over the last couple of years. Last year was a down year, but I think it's a good buying opportunity, so I really do agree there with Cronenworth. What do you think about our boy Davis Schneider in Toronto? I think I have one share, actually. I think I've drafted him once, but I'm of the opinion that he's probably not going to be able to be anywhere nearly as good as he was last year. I think he'll be fine, but I don't think the Blue Jays lineup is that great as a whole, and I think people might be expecting a little bit too much with David Schneider. He had like 1,000 OPS when he came up last year. Yeah. I don't think he'll be able to do that again, though.
No, because it really looks like the Blue Jays are going to mix and match, especially at second base. Like, MLB playing time right now has Kevin Biggio in at second against righties, and then Davis Schneider against lefties. So there could be risk of sporadic playing time. So, yeah, he had that nice little run last season, but he's someone who I haven't really drafted, especially like when you're in, most players don't play draft and holder in leagues with FAB. Like,
yeah,
you could pick him up when you've seen that he's playing. Like, he feels like more of a streamer in those type of leagues. You could see maybe he's got two lefties coming up for the weekend series. Or if you're in, let's say, a Yahoo or ESPN or CBS league, and it's more of like a week, full week pickup, maybe he's got a series, you know, at Fenway, and there's a couple lefties, and you've seen that maybe Biggio gets hurt. Basically, wait for him to be a streamer, not someone I'm really too excited about.
Yeah, I mean, the Blue Jays have just been so disappointing as a whole. That offense is not going to be, like, Kevin Biggio having a starting role is just brutal at this point.
Yeah, it really is.
One last player I do want to mention who I think is kind of overlooked. I honestly don't know that I've seen one tweet or heard him mention one time on any podcast or anything, but Brandon Lau, he's still a 20-plus home run bat. The average isn't great, but he's going to steal a little bit. Like, what was it, 2021? He had 39 homers. He drove in 99. He had 97 runs. He stole a few bases. 280 seems like a pretty reasonable price for a piece of the Rays lineup.
Yeah, I agree. It's just really the injury risk with him. You know, the last two seasons, he hasn't gotten to 500 plate appearances. But that 39 home run year, we even mentioned Polanco, how he had a big year in 2021. That was like that was the crazy ball. So we probably won't see that for either of them, but like 25 plus, maybe you can get to 25 home runs. That's kind of, if you look at the players around Brandon Lau, Brandon Lau, I always mix up which one's Lau, which one's Low.
Me too.
But Brandon Lau, the other players in terms of power, they don't really have that type of power that Lau does. Like Whit Merrifield, Gavin Lux goes around there, Brendan Donovan, Jordan Westberg, Bryce Terang, Jeff McNeil. So if you needed a boost in power late in the draft at middle infield, Brandon Lau looks appealing.
Yeah, he gets you some stolen bases. Last year it was 21 homers in 109 games. I think he's been a little bit too overlooked this year. Frank, we've gone over pretty much the whole pool here. You mentioned that Gleyber Torres is probably your favorite, right? He's your favorite target at second base this year?
Yeah, so definitely.
Who would be the one, if you're talking to people who are going to be doing just one league this year, per se, they got their home league coming up, who's the one second baseman you're absolutely avoiding? Torres is your target. Who's the one, no matter what happens, like, you just have no interest? Is there
one? There's a couple I was thinking of. I could think of Arias, but I'm not going to pick him. I'm going to pick Nico Hoerner, because Nico Hoerner is much more expensive. And, in some leagues where a lot of players play, maybe even Arias doesn't even get drafted sometimes. Like, depends on the format. I'm speaking more of like the more shallow leagues. So my pick for fading for this episode is going to be Nico Hoerner. He goes really high. I get it. The batting average should be good. He should steal 30 bases, but I just don't like getting a player in the fourth or fifth round who's likely only getting, 10 home runs. And like we mentioned, it's like a sweet spot for starting pitchers where Nico Hoerner goes, Grayson Rodriguez, Bobby Miller. If you want to reach on Cole Reagans, you're buying into the hype. Like, he looks great. You could take him there. So for that reason, I'm not on Nico Hoerner.
It's kind of wild. He's the fifth second baseman by ADP. Like, it goes Betts, Albies, Semien Altuve, and then Nico Hoerner. The power is a huge concern. Like, he could be 10, but there was a couple of years where Nico Hoerner didn't hit a home run. Like, Nico Hoerner could be like four home runs. Yeah, we wouldn't be surprised if he ended up with like four home runs. You'd be like, yeah, okay. It wouldn't be shocking. So yeah, that's a huge potential risk to take. And you mentioned like maybe you go with a pitching build. You take a Strider and then you take a Burns, and like maybe Horner's like your second bat. If you have one of your foundational pieces as a single digit home run guy.
Yeah, that's true too. I was trying to think of when it would make a lot of sense to take Hoerner, and
it makes more sense. I agree with your point. If you're like, because a lot of those stolen bases in the first two rounds, like if you don't get them there, you're not getting them. And Hoerner is one of the spots later on where you can. But you're really setting yourself up for a tough year overall, I think, if you're trying to compete especially for an overall tournament, NFBC leagues specifically. Like, he's getting pushed up in those leagues, and I don't really understand why. I'd much rather wait and take Bryson Stott. Why is there a 40-pick difference between him and Stott? They're the same player.
Well, maybe, because Nico Hoerner stole 43 last year. And maybe if you buy into that 40 is what he will get, and Hoerner can maybe even beat that and get even more steals.
Yeah.
And, he's hit at least 280 in each of the last two seasons. And then, he doesn't strike out. That strikeout rate, 12.1%, 11 the last 2 years for Hoerner. So I'm trying to play devil's advocate on what you would like about Hoerner. I could see that, but personally, I think it's more likely goes down to more the 30 stolen base, 30 to 35, rather than stays at 40 and maybe gets closer to 50. And then, projections have him like steamer 11 homers, the bat X has 7. So like he does not hit the ball hard at all, Nico Hoerner. I think he has one of the lowest barrel rates. Yeah. So it's hard to really, like, you can get, like you said, 3 home runs, and then that's ugly.
That's ugly stuff. I totally agree. Like, he's a full fade. I'm not paying the price that markets are requiring me to pay. Frank, it's been great catching up, man. Thank you so much for spending some of your Saturday with me. It's been great talking with you.
Yeah, thank you for having me on. Always a pleasure. Would love to come back at any time, and good luck Good luck in your fantasy baseball leagues, except the ones you're facing me in.
Oh, well, those ones are already dead in the water, so we don't need to worry about that. But, yeah, we'll definitely get you back on. It's been way too long. I haven't had you on in a year and a half or something. It's been way too long. That's my fault, but we'll make sure we don't go that long again without talking. Just remind everybody one more time what you got going on, any upcoming articles to plug or any podcasts or whatever going on at the game day right now.
Yeah, so at the game day, you can find my rankings. I'm going to actually update them right now because even though I updated it like, what, 5-6 days ago, there's just, like I said, been so many changes.
Yeah.
And you can find the fantasy baseball closer rankings at the game day as well. You know, I'll have betting content if you're into that. I'll have a parlays article. I'll be posting picks on Twitter, which you can find at FAMMIRANTETFJ. I do have Instagram and TikTok. We'll try to start posting more there, but mostly my stuff is on Twitter. But yeah, Joel, it's been a pleasure. Love talking baseball with you, and it's exciting. Hey, opening day with, if you play fantasy baseball, it's like so fun. Like, I was thinking, I saw a tweet like favorite days of the year in the sports calendar, and just because opening day, all the games going on, and then you've been hungry to see your players get stats. Like, it's just, it's got to be up there at the top for me. One of the best.
You open up the app, whatever app or website, and you just see like those categories are filled.
Yeah.
With stats,
yeah. You know? Yeah. I love it. It's the best.
And you start getting notifications for home runs and stolen bases. It warms my heart, but maybe we're a little bit too close to this thing because we're obsessed. We're obviously obsessed, but that's why you listen, because we follow this probably a little bit too closely. But that will wrap up this preview and all of our position previews, guys. Go back and check them out. We've done them over the last week, every single position. Had a guest on for everyone except for starting pitchers. I did that one solo yesterday, so make sure you guys are checking all that out and taking a look in the description at our draft guide. Tons of articles. A couple went live this morning. We're looking at the best pick in each round. Daniel did a great article this morning, and it's all linked in the description. So check that out, the draft tracker, rankings, projections, all of that great stuff. And, of course, go ahead and follow Frank on Twitter at FAMMIRANTETFJ. That'll, of course, be in the description as well. And you can check out my work at JoelRico99 and at EthosFantasyBB. Guys, that will do it. We'll see you again on Monday. But until then, take care. Have a great weekend.
Time for a quick break to talk about McDonald's. Mornings are for mixing and matching at McDonald's. For just $3, mix and match two of your favorite breakfast items, including a sausage McMuffin, sausage biscuit, sausage burrito, and hash browns. Make it even better with a delicious medium iced coffee. With McDonald's mix and match, you can't go wrong. Price and participation may vary. Cannot be combined with any other offer or combo meal. Single item at regular price.
What kind of fun is waiting for you at Kings Island? The, holy cow, we're way too high and here comes the drop kind of fun. The, make a splash all summer kind of fun. The, I can't believe I ate that whole funnel cake. Let's get another kind of fun. But most importantly, at Kings Island, you'll find for the fun of it kind of fun.
Don't wait to start your fun this season. Kings Island is now open weekends.
Start clean with Clorox, because Clorox delivers a powerful clean every time. Because messes happen. Because...
I got the charcoal mask. Great, because why would I put that on my face when I could drop it in my sink?
This is what I get for multitasking. Ugh, why is charcoal so sticky?
Hello?
Hey, Janice. I am so sorry. I thought I was on mute. No, we don't need to reschedule. I'll just stay off camera.
Ooh, yeah, that happens. So start clean with Clorox. Use Clorox products as directed.
Without the ones like you, who work tirelessly to keep things running, everything would suddenly stop. Hospitals, factories, schools, and power plants, they all depend on you. No matter the weather, emergency, or time of day, you're the ones who get it done. At Grainger, we're here for you, with professional-grade industrial supplies. Count on real-time product availability and fast delivery. Call, clickgrainger.com or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
You know when you're listening to a true crime story that has an unbelievable plot twist that makes you stop in your tracks? That's what our podcast, People Are the Worst, brings you with each episode. I'm Rachel. And I'm Rebecca. We're identical twins who love true crime cases that make you say, "Didn't see that coming," and we hate the people responsible for them. Listen to People Are the Worst now on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.